The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither he nor his parents sinned. It is so that the works of God might be made visible through him. We have to do the works of the one who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva and smeared the clay on his eyes and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back able to see. His neighbors and those who had seen him earlier as the beggar said, "Isn't this the one who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is," but others said, "No, he just looks like him." He said, "I am." So they said to him, "How were your eyes opened?" He replied, "The man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and told me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went there and washed and was able to see." And they said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I don't know." They brought the one who was once blind to the Pharisees. Now Jesus had made clay and opened his eyes on a Sabbath. So then the Pharisees also asked him how he was able to see. He said to them, "He put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and now I can see." So some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a sinful man do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said to the blind man again, "What do you have to say about him since he opened your eyes?" He said, He is a prophet." Now the Jews did not believe that he had been blind and gained his sight until they summoned the parents of the one who had gained his sight. They asked him, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How does he now see?" His parents answered and said, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. We do not know how he sees now, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He can speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone acknowledged him as the Christ, he would be expelled from the synagogue. For this reason, his parents said, "He is of age. Question him." So a second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner." He replied, "If he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know is that I was blind and now I see." So they said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I told you already and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" They ridiculed him and said, "You are that man's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but we do not know where this one is from." The man answered and said to them, "This is what is so amazing, that you do not know where he is from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if one is devout and does his will, he listens to him. It is unheard of that anyone ever opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he would not be able to do anything." They answered and said to him, "You were born totally in sin, and are you trying to teach us?" Then they threw him out. When Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, he found him and said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered and said, "Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he. He said, "I do believe, Lord," and he worshiped him. Then Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see might see, and those who do not see become blind." Some of the Pharisees, those who do see might become blind. Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not blind also, are we?" Jesus said to him, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you are saying, 'We see,' so your sin remains." The Gospel of the Lord. I find it so interesting that we never even know the man's name, do we? It's just always the guy that was born blind. Well, St. Paul in the second reading, he says, we don't judge by appearance. No, that's the first reading. When Samuel was looking for the new king, David, God says, we do not judge by appearance. We look into the heart. Because David was probably the least likely one to be anointed king at that moment in that family. I used to work in advertising, and a lot of my clients were fashion industry clients. They belonged to that industry led by runway shows and red carpets. Like, you know, tonight is the Academy Awards, right? So you're going to see the whole red carpet thing tonight. You know, all those people that come on TV and ask each other, "Who are you wearing?" It seems that this particular group of people live on first impressions. They live according to influencers. And ultimately, I have to ask, how are we influenced by anyone? We can only be influenced externally, superficially. But when people look at you, who do you want them to see? There is so much confusion today, so much dissatisfaction with self. The need of being unique, or the need of blending into the wallpaper. Maybe someone has said to you something or treated you in such a way as you wish you were different, or even something else than you are. There is the need always to constantly improve ourselves, that's true. But rather, St. Paul says to the Romans, "Put on the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and make no provision for earthly desires at all." Appearances very seldom reflect reality. Perception is seldom reality, though everyone wants to see things from their own perspective. And today's gospel is all about what things look like and what they really are. It is about looking and still being blind, or seeing what only you want to see. You could think of all this confusion of viewpoints and willingness to see as being like clothing. What things look like outwardly is not necessarily true. We begin with a blind man. He's been blind from birth. I don't think we can even imagine what that would be like, to be completely blind and never have seen anything in your entire life. He never knew anything else than being blind. He doesn't make any claims or have any pretense about himself whatsoever. He encounters Jesus and sees him, even though he's still blind. The disciples had just asked Jesus whose sin was responsible for his suffering. Apparently, it was a common belief at that time that somehow God punished people in this way for their sins, even into the next generations. Was it his sins or his parents' sins, they asked. And Jesus heals him. Unlike other gospel healings, notice that this blind man does not ask for it. Jesus was revealing a mystery of what is seen, who can see, and by whose light reality is seen. "When I am in the world, I am the light of the world," he says. Jesus saw into the good heart of this blind man and was moved with compassion. His neighbors and those who had seen him are suddenly confused. "Isn't that blind beggar? We see him all the time, that blind guy." Now notice when they talk about that blind guy, maybe this is why he doesn't have a name in the gospel. I was just recently last fall at a conference, and I was corrected by someone who was there, because when we were talking, a lot of it had to do with African-American churches. And I used the term slaves. And I was corrected, and I needed to be corrected, because it never occurred to me. You can't call someone a slave. They're a person. You say enslaved persons, but you can't say slaves, because that's not who they are. And so they've kind of lumped this blind guy into that same category, this blind guy, right, whose name we don't even know. He replies, "I am he." Some trust only what they saw before and deny the reality that stands right there in front of them. "No, he just looks like that guy," some said. The blind guy says, "No, it's me." "How?" "Well, the man Jesus did it." "Where is he?" "I don't know." The interaction seems to end with irrelevance. The guy who was blind can see. The ones who could see before now are not so willing to believe their eyes. Then we come to the Pharisees, the ones who choose not to see the goodness of the miracle, only that sin had made this happen because it was done on the Sabbath. "He's a sinner," they say about Jesus. "No, he is a prophet," the formerly blind man says. The blind man can see. The Pharisees never choose to see. Then we come to his parents. "We know this is our son. We know he was born blind. We see he can see, but we don't know how. He's an adult. Go ask him." They see, but are unable to acknowledge it out of their fear of being exiled from the temple, which being in the temple itself is a good thing. So they say this Jesus is a sinner. This is the perspective of the Pharisees. Well, the blind man says, or formerly blind man says, "If he is, I don't know. That's not my business. All I know is I used to be blind." This was his perspective. "I can't explain it. You can't explain it." So he has a very interesting insight. "Aren't you the Pharisees, the ones who are supposed to know God? How is it then that you do not know Jesus? You Pharisees are the ones who should know him, because even I know that only this kind of thing can come from God." He basically calls the Pharisees out right in front of everybody. And then I come to a new thought that I'd never had before. I was looking at this scripture this week. The Pharisees respond, condemning him for his blindness, ignoring the fact that he can now see. And they say to him, "You were born totally in sin." Because if they were to admit that he could see now, they would have to admit that Jesus had forgiven the supposed sin that they claimed was there. They couldn't do that. Jesus asks the formerly blind man, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he?" the man replies. "You have seen him. I am he." Remember, every time you see "I am" in the gospel, St. John is referring us back to that moment of the burning bush when Moses says, "Who are you?" "Well, who shall I say sent me?" And he says, "I am who am." That's God's name. Jesus says, "I am he." The formerly blind man then says, "I do believe, Lord." You see, Jesus knew of the blind man's inner sight already while he was still blind. And now that he can see, Jesus reveals the truth. All the rest are still lost in the darkness of their various blindnesses. Jesus says, "I've come into this world so that those who do not see might see, and that those who do see might become blind." This sounds a little confusing at first. Those who admit their blindness, and we all have blindnesses, those who know that they don't yet have the full knowledge of God's light, that they need Christ to reveal their sins to them, a sight with which God made all of us, those who admit their blindness are the ones who can see. Those who deny their blindness and pretend to see will only have their blindness revealed in the light of day. At the beginning of the school year, sometimes children complain about having to wear uniforms. I remember as a kid, I didn't like it either. At least the kids in our school don't have to wear neckties. But when they complain, I explain it like this. If you are all wearing what you want to wear, and I come into this room, all I see is your fashion, distracted by all the color and patterns, I would see the way you want to make me see you or consider you. But when I walk into the room and you are wearing your uniforms, All I see are faces. This is the way Jesus is able to cut through the confusion and noise of our relationships and reveal us truly. How would it be if we all just put on Jesus? We would see the same thing. We would discover a unity that is not only harmonious, but irresistible. Seeing by his light, we would see that it is he who we discover in each other.